It's now time for Sports Saturday.
Are you serious, really?
On 101.3, The Game.
I know football.
Sports Saturday is powered in part by Green City Garage, an environmentally responsible garage in South Burlington, working on all makes and models and specializing in your family's car, truck, or SUV. Vermont Engine Service, an engine and machine shop, 16 Krupp Drive in Williston. Vermont Mortgage Company, mortgage expertise dedicated to Vermonters. See how easy obtaining a mortgage can be. And Romanto's Pizza, delivering to a 10-mile radius of their Taft Corners, Williston location. This is Sports Saturday.
Yet another missed tackle.
Living the dream and taking you with us. 101.3, The Game.
You know, I'm a little salty.
Shocker.
I'm a little salty because for whatever reason, the voice of God that starts our show took my line. Because we are living that dream and taking you with us. That's my line. I'm supposed to say that. All you know, DJs or hosts of shows have their own thing. Arnie has his, I don't even want to do it. I don't have the pipes for it.
No.
You know?
Because that's a great call.
Yeah. The Mad Dog Russo has his thing. I wanted to have my thing, and now I feel like it's taken away. But anyway, regardless of that, we are living that dream and taking you with us. Good morning. It's Sports Saturday. Here on 101.3 The Game and 101.3thegame.com, I am your host, Jeff Paul, and to my right, the Ponch to my John, the Chewbacca to my Han Solo. Some of the greatest partnerships in the history, right?
The head to my ache.
Bernie Siplicki. Good morning, my man.
Good morning. How are we doing today?
We're doing all right. Aaron Wells, A-plus on everything today. And let me just also say, your hair is prime time, my friend.
Thank you. It was about time.
You have one of the finest crops of hair. Both of you guys have really good hair.
I have a chia pet head.
Let me just tell you something about your hair. Let me tell you why your hair is great. You have no.
Because you have none?
Yes. Well, okay. That has nothing to do with me. You have no recession at all. Like, nothing's going backwards. All right. You have no bald spots. It's even everywhere, regardless of whether you deem it a chia pet. I would take a mega chia pet. I would take any kind of pet on my head right now in terms of hair. Both of you have tremendous crops. I don't know why you never wear a hat, but I don't never. Aaron, I would never. If I was you, I would have so much product in that thing every single day. If there was a genie, if I had a genie and I only had one wish, I'd say just give me one day of really good hair. Just one day where I can go out and get the gel and get it up. Oh, man.
Salty about the voice of God. Salty about hair. This is going to be a long two hours.
And by the way, if you want to join our conversation, give us a call at 802-655-6672. Or you can text us on the Town Fair Tire text line at the exact same number, 802-655-6672. Great show ahead for you. A lot to talk about. How about this weather, huh? I mean, how about this weather? Had like some mid-70s this week. I just love
beautiful.
It. Anyone that knows me, and you know this, Bernie, I hate cold weather. I love warm weather. So people will say to me, like, Jeff, you must be all excited because it's springtime. I hate springtime. You know what springtime is, Bern? You know what springtime is? Springtime is like what my dating life was like in high school. That's springtime, okay?
Well, spring exists.
Well, spring, that's my point. So here's how spring works. You're a jerk. This is how spring works. You have a couple days like we did this week, right, where we had 72 and 71, and then we even had like a high 60s yesterday. Even a thunderstorm came through. So the windows are down, right? In the car, you got the windows open in the house. You know, you get the golf clubs cleaned up. You're like, oh, here we go. And then in high school, that's like the really pretty girl all week. Monday, Tuesday, she calls you on the phone. She sits with you in the lunchroom, talking a little bit, having a great day. Same thing with the nice weather in the spring. Then you get to be around 4 or 5 days into said spring. And you got this morning, 39 degrees, potential snow showers tonight. You look at the long-range forecast, and it's going to be high of like 50 with clouds and disgusting.
Wednesday, Thursday is going to be in the 60s.
No, it's not. I just looked at the long-range. I've been looking at it. And then it's like my dating life. Then you go to the party on Friday night. There's the beautiful girl, and she's kissing like Bernie Siplicki, you know, the tall, good-looking guy with good hair. I mean, that's basically that's spring to me. So I just can't wait for spring to be over. Get me my summer. Get me my early fall.
Can we please move on?
I'm just saying. I just
so
get annoyed.
Angry
today.
Oh my gosh!
I'm not angry. I'm just saying it's people say to me, spring is the worst. It's the worst. I would just like to jump from winter to summer. Just jump to there. Let's just get there.
Okay.
It, you know, the mud and the grossness and the up and I just can't take it.
You don't like going from the brown to the green and seeing the evolution of it and evolving and the birds slowly coming back.
Yeah, I like
back.
The birds. I like the birds. This morning at like 5:30, I could hear the birds chirping. I like that. I like that. I like the days being longer. I don't mind seeing brown turn to green. I just don't like seeing brown turn to dark brown that comes in the house with you. And then, you know, then you get the nice
warm
weather.
Well, don't bring it in the house with
you. Well, the dogs bring it. I've got two dogs.
Well,
whose
fault? Well, that's why you got to get your friend to take care of that.
Well, no. We'll get into our great sponsor, Pex. Yeah, well, we'll get into that. We'll get into Pex Adventure Pack later, but they don't train your dog to wipe their feet when they come in from being outside.
I mean, that's, you know, can you do something?
I actually picked up the poop. That's the other thing about spring I hate. When the snow's gone, you've got about, you know, 85 tons of dog doo-doo out back that you got to pick up. And I went out about a week ago when we had a couple nice days, you know, where spring plays with you a little bit. And I went out and I picked up a lot of poop.
So you got some fertilizer.
No. That's not the kind of fertilizer you want. The only thing I don't mind about that poop is it's like petrified. So it doesn't stink. You know what I mean? It just kind of, I don't like the stink.
I'm petrified right now, Aaron. Yeah, I don't know about you.
This is uncomfortable.
What's uncomfortable about it?
You worked up.
I don't like spring.
I mean, I agree with you.
I mean,
spring's like a tease.
That's what I mean. That's the point. It's the worst.
But that's why you live in Vermont. You get all four seasons.
Yeah.
And including a mud season.
Yeah. It's like five seasons.
Thanks.
And then you got construction.
Math
right?
Wizard.
You got construction in there too, right? Is that what happens in the summer? You don't even have summer. You have construction season. That's when, you know, everything's slow on the interstate because we got to fix all the roads.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Is there anything else that bugs you?
A lot. We'll get to that later on.
The next hour in 40 or whatever.
All right, what a show we got for you today. We are going to talk a little bit of football today, college basketball. Bernie is very excited. We got to do his picks, so it's going to be a shorter show today.
I had a lock of the week last week. Who was that, Aaron? Do you remember?
Oh, it was Ohio State against Virginia, right?
No. Ohio.
Ohio against Virginia. My bad.
Yeah.
Ohio State got upset right away, right?
And so did... Ohio was getting points.
Yeah, they're getting seven.
Right, and they covered.
Yeah,
so that
good
was
for you.
Was
you were wrong about all the other ones, though. You're going to mention the fact that I was right about the other ones.
What was my lock of the week? It was that one.
The only reason it was a lock of the week for you is because you knew that I root for Virginia. That's the only reason it's a lock for you.
Jeff, no, I was breaking down the analytics. I forgot as I did the analytics that you were a Virginia fan.
Oh, okay.
I'm sorry.
All right, what a show we have for you. We are going to talk to Rice Memorial's head girls basketball coach, Ari Tebow. He's going to join the show at 10:20. Obviously, the season's not ending the way I think Rice was hoping it would, as their state championship game against BFA was postponed due to COVID. We're going to talk to him and focus more on how special a group this was. As a coach, and we all, and anyone that's coached anybody in the past, you can recognize there are seasons you have that I think you'll go back to with future teams to talk about. And this team, Bernie, this Rice girls basketball team, started the season out, if I'm correct in assumption here, it's 0-6 to start their season and got themselves in a position to win a state championship or at least compete for a state championship. Just an unbelievable season by a great group of girls, and we're going to talk to their head coach next to talk about that great season.
Yep, they'll be here to... Nice to hear coaches' perspectives, but, you know, the last couple of weeks for multiple institutions, schools in our community, teams that have had their hearts broken because of what's going on in our world. Just a crazy couple of months in a time that is supposed to be so joyous and so much fun. There's been a little extra added too much stress, in my opinion, to too many kids and too many people out there.
802-655-6672 is the number to call to join us today, 802-655-6672, or you can text us in the Town Fair Tire text line, same number, 802-655-6672. Let's just get right into it then. Let's talk about this situation. You know, obviously all week the big story in Vermont, and you know we like to tackle the local stuff here, has been the COVID situations and what has happened to not just the Rice girls basketball program and BFA, obviously. There's other schools. Danville's been affected by. There's a lot of schools. Have Burlington, Colchester's girls hockey team and Essex's girls hockey team was affected. And there's been a lot of ways, Bernie, that I thought about how to talk about this situation because, you know, I mean, everybody has their own perspective on COVID and where we're at with COVID. And one of the things that I took out of this for me, and I think it'd be interesting to get your perspective on this as well. And please feel free to give us your perspective as well, because we love listening, hearing from you guys. But one of the things that I noticed was when some of these things broke this week, the first one that broke for me was the Colchester Burlington girls hockey team not being able to play the final against Essex. I got that. I saw that come across social media on Alex Abrami's Twitter page, I believe. And sometimes when I see those things, I read the comments. And one of the comments that stood out to me was a gentleman. And I don't remember his name, and I'm trying to just paraphrase what he said. But basically, it said something to the effect of, we should not have high school sports for 2 to 3 years. And the exact same day, I bumped into a friend of mine who came into Ramonto's, and we were talking. And she had just had a conversation with her son, who's an 18-year-old kid, a senior in high school. And they had this conversation about how he's doing mentally through this whole process. And he basically told her that, I'm not doing well. You know, I feel as if I've been cheated and I've missed out on what's supposed to be the best years of my life, you know, at least to this point. Now, we all understand that 17, 16, any child, I mean, they haven't lived long enough to understand what, you know, they have so much to go, they have so much life to live. It's just a snapshot of their life, and they'll look back at this eventually, and they'll have their own story to tell. But for anybody to think that kids not playing, take whatever, I don't care how you feel about COVID, whether you think they should be playing or not be playing, if you don't understand the impact that playing a sport is for some children, it's not just having the ability to go play, right, Byrne? I mean, it's not just about having great ability to be a great basketball player or a great whatever you play, soccer player, football player, and you get to go play a sport. For a lot of kids, it's how they learn how to be great students. It's how they learn how to be great, you know, partners. It's great how they become great people. I mean, that's how they learn. I know that for myself, that's how I got to get myself better opportunities and how I learned to be a better person by playing sports. The social aspect to it. It's not just sports. It could be anything. It could be part of the band. It could be any club you're a part of. So understanding how important that facet is to these kids, to me, is just a mentality that we have to have. And I don't know how Governor Scott thinks or Dr. Levine thinks in terms of these things. And I'm not going to try to do that. But I hope that when we're making decisions for kids where we're at right now, that and with the science that we know about COVID-19, that they understand how important these moments are. And I mean, you know, you coach for many years. You're an athletic director for many years. You've played big time college basketball. You understand the process and the years that you were able to have to get you there. I mean, what we're doing to kids right now with this is, and in my opinion, it's dangerous. And I hope that we can get to a point quickly where we can move past this so kids can have their lives back.
Without question, the biggest losers in all of this is anybody, in my opinion, that was a junior in high school last year.
Yeah.
Because this all kind of started a little over a year ago.
Yep.
They lost the junior prom. They lost the spring seasons. They lost concerts. They lost performances.
Graduations.
Well, if you're a junior and you're graduating, that's pretty
good. Oh, well, that's true. Yeah. Well, you couldn't go to graduations. That's true. You're pretty smart.
That's a good point.
And
you know, that is really carried over into this year with the remote learning and how much of a challenge that is. And more so the isolation from peer groups. And that's where I think, you know, you hit the nail right on the head. The importance of being a member of a group or a team or a committee, you learn how to read people, understand people. You learn valuable life lessons that helps you become a positive member to society as you become an adult. And that's the part where, you know, now you hope that this group can get a senior prom, can get a graduation, can get something to make them feel better. Because I know, you know, that there are a lot of kids that are hurting. And that's the biggest thing, you know, right, wrong, or indifferent, what's happening with these sporting events. The biggest thing is we got to reach out to these kids and check in with them. How are you as the adult? Spend some time. Make sure they're all right. Try to do something to help them feel better and be better. And you can't just blow it off, especially if they ask a question. You have to be respectful. You have to listen, and you have to ask a couple of more questions. Because right now, you know, we went from an old normal to a quote-unquote new normal, and now we're trying to transition back to the old normal. What is that? You know, it's like these—
Well, I mean, but we have to—
But I'm just saying these kids just don't understand that, and they're scared.
Yeah.
And they need our help, and we need to be there for them.
We have done a job on the fear of what this has brought in, and this is not to diminish what COVID-19 is. We understand how serious COVID-19 is. But you made a point about the social aspect. It's a story that I'll tell you that one of my captains on my soccer team, at the end of the season last year, I took my kids on a quote-unquote field trip to a bowling alley locally, and we did a little laser tag thing, and it was all, you know, we were social distancing.
Within the rules.
And I can remember, at the end of that, we had some pizza, and we were sitting together, and one of my captains said, you know, Coach, this is the first time as a team we've really been able to get together and sit like this and just laugh and joke and have a good time. And I, you know, and you don't recognize the hunger that they had for that. I mean, obviously they had the ability to practice together. They had the ability to sit in buses together, but they had no opportunity to get together and chat and be one group and be a family. Like you're trying to, the dynamic you're trying to create with your program. And I guess when we get to this point right now, you know, we talk a lot about the science of it. You know, is the damage we're doing to them mentally right now more than what this virus will do to them? And again, I think we live in a world right now, and this is, I truly believe this. I think we live in a world right now that is so one side or the other, right? We have no gray area anymore. So there is, I'm sure there's total fear that, you know what? If I step up here and I come speak outside and I, you know, we say, yes, you can play this game and somebody does get really sick and God forbid somebody passes away, you know, I'm going to be sued in that situation. And that could be a real mentality. I hope that isn't. What I was hoping would happen is that parents would be able to say, let's sign a permission slip, like any other sport, to give them an opportunity. They're not going to get that opportunity, Bernie. Your point was very valid, and I love that you said it. Check in with these kids, and that's what my friend did with her son. And it meant a lot to him, I know, and it definitely meant a lot to her. But we're in a weird time for them, and they really are huge victims. So for anyone out there that thinks, just push sports out for a couple years, just, you know, let's get this, you know, do what you need to do to get rid of it or whatever we're going to do. That's a really dangerous mentality, and I hope that's not what happens. I really do.
Yeah, I mean, I hope not, because I'm a fan of sport.
Me
but
too.
Again, I am all about, you know, these kids need that socialization.
Big time.
These kids need each other. They need to be around their friends, and we need to be there for them as that first bridge to taking care of that and trying to help move forward for all these kids, because there's a lot of kids hurting.
You're very, very, very true. All right, let's get to the Green City Garage poll question. Green City Garage, located at 49B Commerce Ave, Unit 5 in South Burlington. Phone number 802-651-9299. That's 802-651-9299. Anything you need done, and now we're getting to be in my favorite time of year, right? Spring. Go see my buddy Chris Wall to get your car all set for summer. If you need to get your tires, get your winter tires off, get the summers put on. You want to make sure that everything's working, the windshield wiper thing's working, you know, to get the fluid out. Make sure your AC is working. Go see my buddy Chris Wall, Green City Garage, 802-651-9299. Go to Twitter right now, 101.3 The Game, and answer our question. If your team gets beat in the playoffs or the tournament or whatever it is you're following.
Virginia.
Yeah, be quiet. Are you, at least they got there. Duke didn't even get there.
We didn't get a chance.
Are you A, still following closely, B, passively following, or C, are you out completely? Let us know at Twitter at 101.3 The Game, and we'll talk about that later. But take a quick break. When we come back, it's the head basketball coach from Rice Memorial, the head girls basketball coach, Ari Tebow. Don't go anywhere.
Sports Saturday with Jeff Paul and Bernie Siplicki.
You never watched Sopranos?
No.
Are you kidding?
I'm Polish.
What does that have to do with anything?
I don't know.
On 101.3 The Game.
Probably notice Aaron points at me, Bernie, whenever the music goes, because he doesn't trust that I understand music enough to know when I can talk. You know, he wants the build up to be there.
It's just how I was taught to enter segments.
Right, but I also think you're also not afraid to articulate yourself early, so he just wants to make sure the timing's right. So he's just doing his job.
And it's always good when my timing's wrong. I like to blame him.
Right, so that's why he needs to do that.
I'm always yelling, like, I'm the quarterback, you're the offensive coordinator, it's your fault.
That's how it was, a coordinator.
It's your fault.
Tom Brady used to yell at what's-his-name all the time.
It's your fault that I threw the interception. It's your fault that he wasn't there. It's your fault that you pointed the wrong time. But you hit that on the nose. But I want you to know when that song's
again,
on, I know where to
just
go.
Just remember, Jeff, when you point one finger at somebody, you have three pointing back at you. So let's take some responsibility, please.
Not when it comes to that, because, I mean, I'm waiting for him to point at me, and if he doesn't point at me at the right time, I may not start, because I've been... I'm just letting you know that you may notice him pointing at me when he wants me to talk. That's what I'm saying. I'm like Pavlov's dog over here, okay? Like, that's when I talk.
Thank goodness.
You are listening to Sports Saturday here on 101.3 The Game and 101.3thegame.com. And joining us now is Bernie's pointing at me with the wrong finger, of course. On the TikTok Jewelers guest line is our good friend, head coach of the Rice Memorial head coach of the Rice Memorial girls basketball team, Ari Thibault. Ari, good morning. Thanks for taking the time. When we talked about getting you on here early in the week, we were getting ready to talk about a state championship game, but that's not going to happen now due to the COVID protocols that we had talked about earlier. But let's get into your team. Congratulations on just an unbelievable season.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
So I say this often. I'm sure you've been coaching for a long time. You have different seasons in mind that really kind of make you smile, and maybe sometimes you'll bring them to a team that you have in the moment about what they've done in the past. But I got to tell you, it must feel great to start a season out 0-6. To turn it around and get yourself in a position to compete for a state championship is something that you don't see very often. Talk about your kids and how you did it.
Yeah, it really was just an amazing season. I think for me, starting out 0-6, isn't the best feeling in the world. But the thing, the one constant with this team that was so special is that every single day, they never hung their head. I mean, they practiced so hard every day. They wanted to learn. They wanted to get better. I can remember we had our fourth loss, and we had a practice the next day, and kids are still diving on the floor for loose balls and just getting after it. And I think we went on that run because they never stopped working hard. They never stopped wanting to get better. And as far as cohesiveness is concerned, they are just an amazing group of kids who really care for one another and love the game of basketball.
And and I'll tell you something, and I think you probably can relate to this. The kids probably understood, too, that just get themselves in a position to be playing good basketball when the tournament starts, because regardless of what your record is, it's one game at a time, and your girls really seize that opportunity. What made them the team that they were in the playoffs, especially the semifinal, where you played a really, really good Burlington team, but you pretty much dominated from the start to the finish?
Yeah, I think we really just improved in all areas of the game. I think our defense, from the beginning of the year, we told ourselves we were going to hang our hat on our defense and really bring it. And then offensively, we really improved with ball movement, spacing, individual players improving and making our team better. I've never really seen a group of kids improve as much as they did throughout the year.
So talk a little bit about Division I. We all know CVU has been this juggernaut. I mean, an unbelievable juggernaut CVU's been over the last, how long have it's been? I feel like it's been forever now. But, obviously you were getting ready to play a very talented BFA team. You guys were in a great position. We've seen Burlington successful. Rutland High School's program has come back into play. Essex has got a great program. Talk a little bit about Division I girls basketball right now. It looks like it's pretty healthy.
I think it's very healthy. There's a lot of really good coaches. Like you said, CVU is a juggernaut and has been for years. And I think everyone's sort of chasing them. But it's really competitive. Like any night you go to play someone, you have the opportunity to get beat. It's a lot of fun. It's really, really coming along. It's one of those things where if you're not ready, you're going to get knocked off. And I think that motivates the kids, knowing that every single night you've got to go out and you've got to bring and give your best effort.
We are talking to Rice Memorial's head girls basketball coach, Ari Thibault, here on Sports Saturday on 101.3 The Game. All right, Ari, so, let's talk a little bit about your team going forward. Now, obviously, the season is going to be over for you, but the future looks really bright there. And let's just talk a little bit about next season. Obviously, CVU is graduating some very talented seniors, but they will, I'm assuming, will be great again. We know Burlington always seems to put a team together. You guys are going to be in the mix. Essex, Mount Mansfield, Rutland. Where are we going next year? Are we expecting another competitive season?
Yeah, absolutely. I think next year is going to be even more competitive than this year. I think a lot of teams are kind of neck and neck as far as talent's concerned. And, you know, like I said before, I respect all the coaches in the Metro and in Division One, and so it's going to be an exciting year. I think it's going to be very, very competitive.
All right. Let's get to this. I guess it's the big news this week with the COVID situations and the disappointing ending of this season. You know, what makes great people is obviously strong people, and sometimes events in life make people stronger, and this will make your kids and your staff much stronger. But talk about how you guys handled the tough news that you couldn't play tonight for the state championship.
You know, that was really tough. I don't think in all my years of basketball, I've experienced a lot of disappointment. But, you know, we were in the middle of practice, and, you know, emotions were high. We're excited for Saturday. And then the administration and the athletic director came into the gym, and I kind of had a feeling in the pit of my stomach. And, you know, my heart goes out to not only the girls on my team, but all the kids in the state of Vermont who lost the opportunity to either play in the playoffs or a state championship game. You really can't put it into words, but you can definitely see it and feel it on the kids' faces, and it's something I hope I never have to experience again.
What was the message to the kids, Ari?
The message to the kids was, you know, right now it's sad and disappointing, and, you know, it's unfortunate, but, you know, use it as a motivator moving forward. You know, this summer when you're in the gym, this summer when you're working out, you know, use it to fuel the fire and help make you hungrier for the next season.
Coach, listen, I got to tell you, just a lot of fun following you guys. I love Cinderella stories. I love watching teams that come from nowhere and put themselves in a position. It was a lot of fun following you guys, and keep your heads very high. You represented yourselves very well, and your players were fantastic. Thanks for coming on this morning, and have a great rest of your spring and summer, and maybe we can talk again down the road.
All right. Thank you very much.
All right.
A great day, guys.
Thank you. Head coach at Rice Memorial, Ari Tebow. You know, it's interesting. But I will tell you, though, that there are things that happen in life that are insanely disappointing, but they make you stronger down the road. And this will make these kids stronger. But I've always said this, and I think it's people will tell you, my critics in terms of what I do as a coach will tell you that it's just because, you know, I haven't won a championship yet. But you're never defined by one game or a moment. You're defined on what you did to get to that moment. You're defined on how you do things, you know, throughout a season. You know what I mean? So one moment doesn't define you. These kids will look back and know they didn't get a chance to play, but they'll never, you know, but that won't matter, because how they got to that point was what will matter later on. And they'll have a bond forever. If there are teammates here, Bernie, and you can relate to this, that may not see each other again for eons, right? I mean, they may bump into each other 15 years down the road on Church Street at Christmas or something, and they'll have that moment together. And that's something that's why playing sports and being a part of a team is the most important thing, or being a part of any organization or any club in high school is so important. It's a bond that you create with your teammates and your friends.
It is, and in a situation like this, it's not how many times you get knocked to the canvas, it's how quickly you get back up.
Very true.
And brush yourself off. You can, you know, you have to take that moment to feel sorry for yourself.
Yep.
and grieve and mourn, because that's part of the healing process. But you got to get through that quickly. You got to get up, and what are you now doing today to get better, to, like Coach said, prepare yourself for the next event and the next time you play?
Yeah.
Because, and the crazy thing is, you don't know if you're going to have the opportunity to get back.
And I'm so glad you just said that.
Dan Marino.
I'm so glad you just said
one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. Rookie year, made it to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And, he'll be back, he'll be back, he'll be back. He never got back.
And let me just say this, too. I think this will also give kids today an appreciation of how special it is to play. And I've told this story many times. Kids that play basketball and soccer in particular, and I'll use that, and even baseball, you know, and maybe not baseball to the effect, but maybe hockey. I guess the big three I'll use is hockey, basketball, and soccer, is that they can play that sport year-round. And they play so many games that you don't recognize the importance and how, you know, that you have the opportunity to wear that high school uniform because you play so many games. And now this is going to give those kids an understanding that, you know what, it can be taken away at any time. So take advantage of your talents, take advantage of your opportunities, and never take a moment for granted. I mean, I've told the story 1,000 times. I had a key soccer player when you were an athletic director 15 years ago when I was coaching. I've been there for a long time now, but this is 10, 11, 12 years ago that a freshman football team was getting ready to play a Monday night football game in pouring rain. There was nobody in the stands, and we were practicing. And this player and these football team, these kids came out, and they were so fired up. They were, you know, it's pouring rain. There's nobody at the game. One of my players says, "Why are they so fired up to play? There's nobody here. It's just one football game." And I said, "Boy, I'll tell you what, if you have to understand, these kids probably get 18 or 19 football games in their whole career maybe to play. If that's the mentality you had, how important would each game be? I think with everything that's going on now, kids will recognize that their opportunities aren't guaranteed and to take advantage of every single one."
Well said, Jeff.
All right, quick break when we come back. We're going to talk a little bit more about this because the VPA has made some decisions on how they're going to crown these champions. Bernie and I are going to debate that when we come back.
Sports Saturday with Jeff Paul and Bernie Siplicki.
Chris, I told you a story when I was in Jamaica a couple years ago, and this fish came up and bit me right in the nipple. Then it swims away, and my wife's like, "What is the matter with him?" I'm like, "Something just bit me." She's like, "No, it didn't." And boom, hit the other nipple.
On 101.3 The Game.
There's my point. We are back here on Sports Saturday on 101.3 The Game and 101.3thegame.com. I am Jeff Paul, my guy Bernie Siplicki to my right, and of course the man, the myth, the legend, our producer Aaron Wells. Quite a show so far. It is going to be an abbreviated show today because starting at 11:45, we've got the Division II Men's Basketball College Basketball Championship today here on 101.3 The Game. But interesting, you know, we've been talking about what's going on with the COVID situation, high school sports, and the VPA has been saying the team that has had the issue with the COVID situation will be the team that has to forfeit. And so we have crowned teams. You know, we crowned, I guess we know, obviously, we just talked to Ari Tebow, the head girls coach at Rice, and their team, that team is finishing runner-up to BFA. We've seen this in different places. And Bernie, I want to talk about that because, you know, the understanding that I have from this, and I've read a few things that the VPA has put out, and I, you know, I don't agree with it. You know, I guess I can understand when you're going through a playoff situation where, you know, you can't slow this down, right? So if two teams are playing in, say, the first round or second round or a quarterfinal or even a semifinal, and a team cannot play due to COVID, that team has to forfeit. I get that. But when you get to a championship scenario where this is the last game, with everything these kids have gone through this year, and I mean this, and I'm not the kind of guy that says give everybody a trophy. Trust me, that's not me at all. That just isn't. But this is a different situation. And when you look at the situation, I'm going to look at two that are fairly close to me because I paid attention to it. The Colchester-Burlington girls hockey team that was in the parking lot to go play wasn't allowed in, you know, due to overly being off, overly cautious, whatever the decision was, has to finish runner-up. I just don't think it's right. And the situation with Rice, which again, if you follow the science, the Rice team should be able to play, but we've made the decision to be cautious. Okay, fair enough. I don't know how you crown somebody that way. And I know that, it's again, we live in this world where, no, we have to do this because a semifinal game or a quarterfinal team had COVID, so they weren't allowed to play on, so they lost the game. But when you get to a final, and all these kids have worked their rear ends off to get there for no fault of their own, you should do co-championships. I just feel like you should. And I don't care. I know last year, what did we do? We had four champions last year, right? Because the Final Four was there. Right. And I don't even care about that. I don't even think there's a there's no precedent for this, if I'm saying that word right. And I'm probably not.
I think so.
Thank you very much. But to me, and tell me if you think I'm wrong, I think that we should have co-champions. If you get to the final and one team just can't play, and again, I don't want to hear it's anybody's fault. This is a virus. You don't know where they got the virus. If somebody has the virus, it could have been anywhere. You don't know who gave it to you. Even if you think somebody has it, you have no idea if you got it that way. There's no clue. It's a virus. At the end of the day, I think we should have co-champions. I think it's the best way to go, and I think it's the right way to go for these kids.
Yeah, I think in order to stay consistent, I don't know if that's the right answer. I understand what you're saying. You know, I'm just struggling because A, there's been 12, you know, for basketball and hockey, there are 12 state championships in Vermont. Four boys basketball championships, four girls.
Yep.
And then two hockey and two for boys and two hockey for girls. There's 12. And there are three that have been canceled or forfeited or whatever the proper term you want to use because of it. That's 25%. That's crazy. You know, if you think about it, that it comes to that. You know, I just I'm not sure if because, you know, there's been forfeits all the way through, and those to say that there's a co-winner in the finals is an inconsistent message.
It's not how is it an inconsistent message?
Because the other games, they were already forfeited.
I understand that, and I almost understand. I guess if you can't prolong the tournament to allow these kids to be quarantining long enough and retest them like they did for the NCAA tournament for some of these teams, like Virginia's a good example of that, Kansas is a good example of that. But what I'm saying to you is I can almost understand that because we're on a timetable here. But when you get to the final, this is not like, you know, we're dealing with they went to a big party and everybody got drunk and, you know, people screwed up that way that they, you know, they made a decision. These kids did nothing wrong. And you look at a situation like Rice, and you look at a situation like Burlington Colchester, the hockey team, I mean, they're in the parking lot. Rice's situation is even more interesting because the science for that situation would say they could play, but they made a decision to be safe. Fair enough. You're going to make that decision. Come on, VPA. Step up for these kids. I mean, what are we doing to them? I mean, I understand being consistent, Bernie. I get all that. But this isn't about being consistent with a situation where somebody gets kicked out of a game and there needs to be a suspension, and maybe we can argue whether the suspension was right. This is really about something that this is crazy. And so we're hurting these kids. They don't get an opportunity to play. And then we're telling them you lost.
Well, first off, as a competitor, and I agree with that, everybody out there, nobody wants to be crowned a champion that way. And
of course.
If you look in the Free Press, the article that the BFA Comets wrote was a beautiful piece, and they deserve, and hopefully they get some feedback to that wonderful piece. You know, but I just go back to it's tough because in the quarterfinal, I mean, the whole thing could have changed. I know we can't delay, but I just struggle with the co-champion. Last year was different because everybody had to come to a stop right away.
They came to a stop in the final four.
Right, but everybody you came to that stop. So
yeah, so you crowned him.
Right, and that was I think that was the right decision.
And it was the right decision. And now we're in a situation where we don't have the ability to take a quarterfinal or a semifinal or a second round game or whatever round it is that's not the championship because you just don't have the time to do it. With the steps that people have to take to get people ready to play again. But when you get to a final, I mean, again, you are tearing the hearts out of these kids. And you made a great point. You know, you never know if you're going to get back. You used the Dan Marino example. For Rice or for Burlington, for any of them, BFA, I mean, any of them. I mean, I feel bad for them. Nobody wants a championship like this. But at the end of the day, this is where we're at. The VPA makes a decision. Well, we did this for a quarterfinal round, or we did this. I mean, come on. Like, I mean, if somebody comes back at you for saying, you know what, we're gonna co-champion these teams because they both got there, and then if somebody from a quarterfinal comes in and says, that's ridiculous. I can't believe you're doing that. How can you? This isn't about the banners. This is about the kids. It's not about who's up there and who's getting the champion. It's about the kids, and we have an opportunity now to at least give some of these kids that didn't get the opportunity, that for no fault of their own, weren't allowed to play. You could at least give them a co-championship because they have no control over this. They had no control. They did everything they were supposed to do. They have no control over it. And I don't want to hear it's somebody else's fault either. You don't know. You know, you don't know where someone got a virus from. And they've done everything right, and they've worked their butts off, and they committed themselves, and they thought they weren't going to have their season. Then they had their season, and they worked hard to get there, and they got themselves in a position. I'm heartbroken for the other schools that lost their opportunity in the tournament. I get all that. I'm sad about that. But I don't know how you continue to have a tournament if that happens there, because the season's got to end somewhere and you just can't do that. But when you get to a final, I mean, I got to be able to talk you into this one a little bit here. I mean, I mean, this is an opportunity now to say, you know what, this is a horrible thing. And I hope the VPA relooks at this. It's okay to relook at things. It's okay to say, you know what, let's look at this again and say, let's do this. Because I think it's the only fair thing to do for these kids. And let me just finish my point. I am not a guy that thinks seventh place should get a trophy. I'm not a guy that thinks third place. I mean, I am a guy that thinks you earn your championship, you get it, good for you, let's go. I'm not just saying give trophies out, but this is a different situation, and these kids deserve that opportunity.
So Kevin in Essex gave a potential fix to the problem that I don't understand why this wasn't necessarily considered more. The idea of, since you're at the championship round and you're not offsetting more of a schedule, why not just postpone and then play it? Is that
so? I think that's a great point.
And
that's a great question. Yeah. But again, you know, how is that fair to South Burlington hockey, to Rice hockey, to other teams that have had to forfeit because of COVID and because teams were able to make it through? And like, I'm not saying it's the right answer, but I'm saying if you now postpone these games, if I'm a team that got eliminated earlier, no matter what the sport, no matter what the division, no matter what the team, well, baloney. You're going to do that for the finals, but you're not going to do that for me. How is that fair
to
me?
Well, I think the point being is, I fair enough in your point, but I mean, you know, if that's happening, you'd be pushing this thing back weeks and weeks and weeks. When you get to this point, you can't be afraid of what someone's going to say because they lost their quarterfinal game or their semifinal game. When you get to this point, you're both. It's one.
But they didn't lose.
They lost the opportunity to play. I'm talking about there's one game left. You've got to make this. I know where you're coming from, but you got to make. Yeah. You know, there needs to be something for these kids. Is what I'm saying. They got to have a bone out there. You can't just walk into Rice's gym 3 days before the game and say, you know what, they're not going to let you play. I mean, fair enough. We can't play. Then what? Then what do they get out of this? Nothing. They get nothing out of this. I mean, you can be inconsistent because if you're in the middle of the tournament, I mean, you got to do something, right? I mean, I can understand that. I really do. I think, and if you can't stretch it out for them, you can't do that a week. Then make if they're both there. Give them the co-championship. Why not? You think Essex and BFA, I mean, let them have the co-championship. Then at least they can say, you know what? We got ourselves here, and look, we earned this right to get this banner. At least we get the banner. We earned it. We got there. We didn't even get a chance. They got nothing. They got no chance out of this. I just think it's unfair. I don't like it. And this is a guy right here that hates, you know, fifth-place trophies, and I'm not looking for that. This is a different world, and we have to look at what we're doing to these kids. I don't want to get into the politics of all this, but my God, like the science says that these kids could have played. Give them the opportunity. If you're not going to give them the opportunity because you want to be that cautious, fair enough. If they're in the final, be co-champions. Give them that opportunity, Bernie. It's a fair thing to do. And it might be upsetting for the quarterfinal, but again, if this is the precedent we're going to have, if we get to the final game, we got two teams that can do it. The last second, you determine a kid team can't play, you got to go co-champions.
The hard part, too, is the continual inconsistent message that is delivered out there.
And very
that's,
true.
That's where the hard part of okay, the VPA is continuing their message and how they handled it, but then there's other situations and in higher places where everything is evolving, and that's the part that's hard. But once again, in all of this, no matter right, no matter wrong, no matter what side you're on, the biggest losers are
the kids. No question about it. And the damage we're doing to them because of it, and the fear they're going to have because of it, is just it's scary. And we have to start to get to a position where we explain the dangers of things, but we don't overexemplify it. So we take these kids and they become citizens that are afraid to leave their house. We just can't get there. It's okay to be. It's okay to be nervous about COVID. I'm nervous about COVID. I get all that stuff. I wear my mask. I do the things I'm supposed to do. I understand all that stuff. But at the end of the day, we have to get to a point where we need to understand it, and you need to learn about it, get a feel for what it is, know what your risks are, like anything. When you cross the street, when you play a sport, if you're in the heat, if you're in the sun, you need to know your risks. And at the end of the day, where we're at right now is a dangerous place because we're scaring children, and when it's all said and done, I hope that we can get to a place where these kids can become citizens that aren't afraid to live their lives. All right, quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk a little out in left field. Don't go anywhere.
Sports Saturday with Jeff Paul and Bernie Siplicki.
What? You're just trying to take a dig at me, and I take a dig back at you.
You've been
killing
me.
I'm not killing you at
all. You've been killing me for 2 hours.
You've had way too much Mountain Dew today.
That's the show.
On 101.3 The Game.
802-655-6672 is the number to call if you want to join our conversation today. 802-655-6672. Very spirited first hour. We only have 45 minutes left, though. I'm kind of annoyed.
Shocker.
Division Again. Two basketball championship getting in the way of our what are they playing at 11:45 for anyway? Can't you play at noon so
they're
we can finish our
noon.
Show?
They're pre-game's playing at noon.
We got a pre-game for the Division Two championship.
We got to set the table, just like we're setting the table for my picks later today.
Oh, yeah,
I got
do that.
Some
yeah,
locks.
Your stupid
oh,
picks.
I got locks. My
I want to talk
picks.
Baseball, but now I got to talk about your picks.
You want to talk about baseball?
It starts next week.
Last week you said, what's the greatest tournament we have going?
NCAA tournament.
And you don't even want to talk about because you want to talk about oh,
well, my team's out, so I'm out. My team's out, I'm out. That's how I roll.
Did you put that on the poll question?
I voted. I said I'm out. Anyway, hey, you know what happened to me this week, by the way?
What was
I? I got asked to officiate a wedding this summer. How about that?
You got to wear a striped shirt?
No, not that kind of officiating. Oh. I have to marry two people. I got asked if I would marry a couple.
Wow.
How about that?
Wow.
Of course, I said yes. Oh my god! And then they left, and I was like, oh my god, I got to start working on this.
Kidding. That's pressure.
Yeah, they're no kidding. I'm gonna really practice. I'm gonna do a bang up job.
Okay.
I can't wait to do it. Actually, I'm glad that I got some time. But it's two of my favorite people in the world, and I get to marry them. So that's new for the resume burn. All right, because we're not going to have a Hot or Not today, I do want to mention because our great sponsor of Hot or Not.
You mean like that Sports Center update?
Yeah, that was hot. That was Hot or Not. That was out left field. Okay, now we're talking Hot or Not. But because we don't have Hot or Not, Aaron, talk about our great sponsor.
Well, Hot or Not is, in a normal week, brought to you by Superb Cupcakes. They are open for curbside pickup daily. Available flavors are posted on their Facebook and Instagram pages daily. You can call them today at 802-871-5941 and place your order for contact-free pickup today.
Yeah, and let me get on there. So today, the cupcake of the day is, oh, man, see, this is a problem for me. The Carmelo.
Is it the Mountain Dew cupcake?
No, it's not, but they do that. But anyway, today is the Carmelo. So I'm guessing it's like, you know, marshmallow, caramel. And look at that.
Oh, that's beautiful.
I mean, I'm just telling you, if you want to treat yourself, and again, you know, and you know they come in the nice packaging. You know, I've told you guys, nothing bad comes in white boxes with like rope on them. You know, the little string. When you go to your house and your wife or your mom or something has that box, you know in that
there's
box
some kind
is brilliant.
Of pastry. There's something
really good in there. But or if you see the plastic container, you just know. And so if you want a treat, check them out in the Taft Corner Shopping Center. Go tell them that Sports Saturday sent you. And they're big sports fans too. I mean, they just love their sport, even though they like the Philadelphia Eagles, but, you know, nobody's perfect. So anyway, all right, let's get into it. We've been talking a lot of local stuff and obviously for obvious reasons, but let's get into a little. This week was a very big week for a football team that had very little cap space going into the offseason here. And there was a lot of concern that what are we going to do here? But man, Bernie, I think the New York Giants hit a home run. And you know why I feel like they hit a home run? Not only do I like the players that I'm seeing so far, I love the fact that the New York media that knows nothing, those guys that make all this money, that thing they get on there, and they don't know. The experts don't know anything. You want to know what's going on? Come talk to guys like Bernie and I. Okay, because we know what's going on. Well, at least if you don't,
if you
don't want to be that, you come talk to me.
Yes.
Okay, because I know my football team. And I know
and they're not gonna be
they
there,
are right. going to be so good. This is exactly what Daniel Jones needed. I love the fact that Kenny Golladay signed. You guys were telling me remember how the listeners were texting me last week that he's not going there. Yep. He's not going there. He went there, baby. We got Golladay on the outside. And if you remember, we talked about this last week.
Didn't he sign during like the Saturday of the NCAA tournament? Was that Saturday?
Yeah, he signed that day.
Yeah. I think it was, oh, man.
Oh, stop.
Okay.
I mean, why?
Oh, okay.
I mean, listen, we don't have a lot of time left on the air here. And you just got to keep digging. Like, I don't get it.
He signed during the Ohio-Virginia game.
Yeah, I know what he did.
Okay, carry on.
I know what he did.
Okay, good.
I'm aware of when he signed.
Yeah, because you let me know about it.
Yeah, I said, hey, Byrne, look at this. As you were being ridiculous about the Ohio-Virginia
game. No, you just said, hey, Byrne, told you so.
Anyway, yeah, exactly. I said, I hope everybody else said that, too, when they stopped. Anyway, if you remember, and again, I know Bernie does because he's got the man crush here. When Eli Manning got Plaxico Burress, it changed the dynamic of Eli Manning. And I will argue that that's exactly what's going to happen here with Golladay. And I love the signing. I think it's amazing.
Aren't you worried about the offensive line, though? I love the signing. I love what they did. But those five young guys, if they don't come together, it doesn't matter.
And again, I think it's unfair to this point grade this team out because I don't think they're done. But I think the Kyle Rudolph signing, who is a guy that has not dropped a pass in 2 years.
Who's got a bad foot that we're
but you trust that the decision making here is that he's going to see. I don't look at things the way I don't look at it cynically. I look at it as if they signed him to this contract, that he's going to be ready.
Okay.
So that's how I'm looking at it. Now, if we come to August, September, and he's not ready, then fine. We can debate that, whether that was a good signing or not.
But well, that's no debate if he's not ready. Well, of course, that's a terrible signing.
Well, right. Fair enough. Then it will be a bad signing, unless he can come back quickly and make an impact. But you look at these guys on paper, on offensively. You bring in a Golladay that will immediately create Daniel Jones is a better quarterback at this stage of his career than Eli Manning was at his stage, at this age of his career. No question about it. And you saw the difference maker that Plaxico Burress was for him. And not only was it a great difference maker for Plaxico Burress, it made Amani Toomer a better wide receiver. Amani Toomer was an afterthought when Plaxico got there. It made Amani Toomer better. This signing will make those secondary guys that had to be the number one guys for Daniel Jones better. And Kyle Rudolph not only is a great pass catcher, he's a great blocker. I'm really excited. You're right about the offensive line. There's a lot of questions there, but I think it's unfair to grade that until we know what they do in the draft, anybody else they sign or trade for. But I'm really excited to see what they've done so far in the offseason, Bernie.
I am. I mean, the big question is that we spend too much for Mr. Jackson.
From White River, on the Town Fair Tire Texans. You overspent on Adoree Jackson.
It's 3 years, $40 million.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see. I mean, we'll see if we did or not.
But that secondary now has the chance to be
very, very special.
He's a very good young corner.
He is, and they're all young now. I mean, they're all young. I mean, Bradbury's a little older, but he's a shutdown corner. You've got Jackson on the other side, and you've got Xavier McKinney, the rookie from Alabama, that is predicted to have a breakout season.
Peppers and Logan
Ryan. It's going to be a it's going to be a better defense. We'll see how that plays out, and I don't think they're done there. There's speculation that in the draft now, and the way with the trading that's been going on, Bernie. It looks like a really good player is going to follow the Giants at 11 because you know a lot of quarterbacks are going early. You can see these teams are priming themselves for quarterbacks. I love where the Giants are.
Well, and you start talking about the draft, and that's the next question. You figure four in the top, the Giants have the 12th pick?
Or 11th.
11th. So in the 10 before, there's going to be four quarterbacks, three wide receivers, and probably one offensive lineman that will go.
Yeah.
I mean, and then the rest, who knows? So is, the linebacker from Penn State going to be there? Where do you go? Where's the biggest need to go to next? The edge rusher is, the class is deeper, so do you potentially trade back to get another pick to then get one of those edge rushers later in the first round and not have to reach? Or if the tight end from Florida is there, do you look at him? I mean, there's a lot of good potential options.
The tight end from Florida is what you do, I think. If Pitts is there, I think you take him and then you jettison Ingram. I think that would be unbelievable.
You can't stand him.
No, I can't because Ingram I think a second ago Ingram just dropped another pass. Evan Ingram, God bless him. I think he's a great talent. He's very athletic. I get it.
At least he doesn't trip over the 18-yard line.
He is not a difference-making tight end. He can't block. He has a horrible, and if you watch him catch footballs, it's very awkward. It's time to move on. If you can get that kid, I think the thing, and I'm not trying to change the subject here, but if the Jets pick a quarterback, I think they're making a big mistake. With all the money the Jets have under the cap right now and this pick, I think Sam Darnold is still the guy. I really do. Before you came back, I had a writer from the Jets from the New York Post come on, and he was telling me, basically, that, he was hoping they'd trade for Deshaun Watson and they got to get rid of Darnold. And I'm thinking to myself, if you trade for Deshaun Watson, you're basically going to have to trade the farm to get him. So you're taking him from a bad football team, putting him on another bad football team. I think Darnold's situation is he's been on a bad football. I think he's a good quarterback, and I think he's going to be very serviceable. I would keep him and get him a weapon or get a great defensive player and build this team. I don't think you go quarterback, Bernie, if you're the Jets.
Well, and again, does a team like the Bears, do they try to jump into the quarterback top four sweepstakes and trade in? And if you're the Jets and, Sam is your guy, do you then, just back up and collect more assets to rebuild your team?
802-655-6672 is the number to call if you want to join our conversation today. 802-655-6672. Or you can text us on the Town Fair Terra text line at the exact same number, 802-655-6672.
You know what I really like about the Kenny Golladay signing, too, is you can see intelligent GM work in the specifics on the contract. it's backloaded in terms of cap hit, which means yep. that when the cap goes back up next year, that's when you guys will actually start paying him, which is big. And you actually got him for by base salary, $6 million under what he was projected to get.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
that's like Dave Gettleman did a good job with that contract, despite the fact that it looks pretty big on the surface.
And how can anybody look at what they've done and say it's bad? What they've done is not good. I mean, how can anybody, and this is what gets me about the New York media,
because they're haters.
They're the worst. I mean, I will tell you that most experts are just not good experts. They're just not. I mean, and I've
you
been
call,
so
well,
and
you
I've been so salty.
An expert.
Yeah, because I am about my. I'll tell you something right now. I know more about the New York Giants than what the quote unquote expert is on NFL Network that comes on and talks about them that doesn't watch them every single week. I'm telling you, I know more about the Giants than most. You know more about the Giants than most of these guys do. But they come on, they tell you this stuff. Never, it's never right. Daniel Jones is going to have a if he's healthy. And again, that's a question mark. I mean, I'm not going to deny that he's been injured. And again, when you're a quarterback that runs, that can happen. If he's healthy, he is going to have a breakout season with this football team. I'm telling you right now. And if that offensive line can do any kind of protecting, he's going to have a great year. I cannot wait. Honestly, I can't wait. This is the most excited I've been about a Giants football team in a long time.
You are so glass half full. I appreciate it. I'm not ready to buy it yet.
You're weird.
I want to be excited. I think the defense is getting better. I just think there's too many holes. You know, the offensive line scares me to death. I hope they can come together. I love the fact that they're young. I love the fact that it's all coming together and they're going to have a pizza.
But what you've seen out of the offensive line, let me just say this, and I hear you, and I agree with you, but I think what you saw late in the year with that offensive line, and I liked Zeitler a lot, I really did, but you couldn't afford him, so I understand why he's not there. But that offensive line, as the year went on, those young kids, it's Pert and Thomas from Georgia, the fourth round, the pick that wasn't there.
And you think Lemieux is going to be able to fill in at guard?
We'll see. I mean, we'll see.
Hernandez fell out of love? There's a lot
right,
of...
But they're not done. Like, that's my point. Like, if the season started tomorrow, we could debate this. But it's not fair to judge this offensive line until we know what it's going to be. Then we can debate that. But okay. What I saw last year was an offensive line that galvanized, that got better as the year went on. And again, it's an offensive line that's protecting a quarterback that has terrible offense around him. I mean, that offense last year was abysmal. It just was. And when Daniel Jones got hurt and couldn't move in the pocket, you saw how abysmal that offense was. What he needs and what he's going to have now, and you know what? Pitts could fall to him, to the Giants, event at that tight end. You have dynamic playmakers that can create space on their own. That's going to make him an unbelievable quarterback in this league. What did Dennis from Georgia just say something? Here we go.
Thank you, Dennis.
All right, Dennis from Georgia on the Town Fair text line. Oh, no, Jeff is making quarterback takes again. Darnold is toast. He's not a winner. This is a quarterback-driven league. If you don't have a winning leader for quarterback, you need to find one, from bitter Washington fan that has needed one for years. I just think it's I don't think it's right. And fair enough, I think Darnold, I don't know if he's not a winner yet. I don't think the Jets have put a team around him that is a winner. I think that has something to do with it. And again, I will say this to the end of time, like, take any great quarterback, any of them, if you don't have difference makers that can make plays for you, how do you expect to be successful in the NFL? It's just that simple. Tom Brady wasn't successful with the Patriots the last year he was there because he had no playmakers. And you bring him to Tampa Bay, he wins a Super Bowl with all those playmakers. I mean, that's the reality of this. And I have seen enough of Daniel Jones to know this guy is a difference maker. I feel more confident about Daniel Jones today, where he is, than I did at Eli Manning's career at the same time. And that's just the truth. And that's just reality
for
me.
So you're telling me Danny Jones is going to win two Super Bowls and be a Hall of Famer?
I think Daniel Jones, if the defense can come get galvanized and if they get to the Super Bowl, Daniel Jones can win a Super Bowl. There's no question. It's not Daniel Jones' fault that they're not going to win a Super Bowl. It's just like it's not Eli Manning's reason. Eli Manning's not the reason they won the two Super Bowls in the first place. I mean, the defense is what got them there. They got hot late. I mean, Eli, look, I know you don't like to hear that, but Eli, I love him. He's a great ambassador to the game, great New York Giant, appreciate everything he did for the Giants. But Eli's an average quarterback, Bird.
Very average.
He's been an average. If he didn't play for the Giants, he would have been an afterthought. If he didn't have his last name Manning, he wouldn't. I mean, he's an average quarterback.
I really thought I missed you guys.
He really is. He's such an average quarterback.
I forgot about your whole Eli Manning deal.
He loves him.
Come on, he was so good in those playoff runs.
He was, yeah. They were good in the playoff runs.
He wasn't good.
He was fine.
Oh,
but he wasn't the reason. There were some iconic plays made. I will give him credit for that. That last drive, not getting sacked and throwing a ball that was probably he shouldn't have. I mean, that play to Tyree wasn't a great throw. It was very lucky and an insane catch by Tyree. Iconic. Great throw to Plaxico for the touchdown. The best throw he made was a throw to Manningham, and the second time against the Patriots was a great throw, and that was a great drive. Don't get me wrong. He was a serviceable quarterback. But Eli Manning was never the best quarterback in the, you know, a quarterback that could, was going to lead. What happened when Plaxico got shot himself in the leg that year? That was, they were the best football team in the league. Eli couldn't lead him to a championship. They didn't have enough weapons. He doesn't have that kind of game. Daniel Jones has a great game, and you give him some weapons, look out.
Well, but it doesn't matter. At the end of the day, if the line can't protect him, it doesn't matter who's back there.
Very true. And
that's,
very true.
That's it.
And that is very
the
true.
NFL games are won in the trenches.
Very, very true.
That'll
but I
never
think,
change.
Fair enough. But I think if you look at what you saw last year, I think you can have the expectation that these guys can compete and they can perform. That's kind of where I'm. I feel like that could be the mentality. You know, if you see what's on paper, that's what I like. Now, it may not play out that way, and we know that the NFL is a year-to-year league. You can be great one year, and you can be average the next. We'll see. But in terms of the trajectory and the roster, at to this point, I love what the Giants are doing, and I think they can compete with the Cowboys for the championship there in the NFC East. I really do.
I know you said something about Pitts falling to them, but wouldn't you potentially rather see them try and get someone on? Oh, well, they haven't done a great job drafting in the offensive line of the Giants.
They've been horrible.
But what are you talking about? You three of the five potential starters are guys they just drafted.
Yeah, lately.
Right.
You remember Pugh? You remember the guy Flowers?
Pugh was good.
Pugh was average, and Flowers was
terrible.
Flowers
was a bum.
He was terrible.
But that wasn't this regime.
I understand
okay,
that.
Okay, so under this new regime, wouldn't you rather them see them like try and get the guy from Oregon maybe?
He won't be there. He won't be. That's the point. If he's there, fine. But if he's not and you have an opportunity to get Pitts, I'm telling you, that guy's the guy. I mean, he to me is the guy, if you can get him. That tight end from Florida is unbelievable. And if he's not there, I think you take the best player. And if that's a defensive player, a difference-making edge runner, a great linebacker, not like a defensive tackle, not that, but like an edge, a difference maker on defense, I think you got to go after that as well. I don't know, man. Yeah. I'm up on this team. I don't know. I'm feeling good about it.
Are.
And listen, anyone that's listened to us over the years, I'm not a homer. Like when I'm down on him.
I know Eli's average, but I'm just Eli homer.
Oh, you love him.
I love him. He is everything a professional should be.
I totally agree with you. As a professional, he is. He's a great person, a great human being. He's a philanthropist. He's did a lot for the city. He's a great guy. But on that gridiron, man,
I know.
I'm going to tell you, they
drive me nuts.
And that team had a couple.
And he still does.
Yeah, he doesn't drive me nuts anymore because Daniel Jones is my guy now.
You know what drives me nuts? We haven't talked about my Patriots. Good. You see what they did?
No.
They went out and got everybody.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. And the Patriots are doing it differently, as we talked about last week. We had a whole segment on your Patriots last week.
I'm excited. We're back.
Oh, listen to that. Boy. You're back. With Cam Newton as quarterback, you're back?
Yeah. I'm okay with two tight end sets, baby.
Okay. Maybe you'll get Pitts.
Ooh. Ooh, maybe you will. Probably not. All right. Take a quick break. When we come back, we have one more segment, and we're going to talk college football. Bernie's locked
locks.
On picks.
I got locks.
Get your money out, boys and girls. Bernie's going to tell you who's going to win. But I wouldn't listen to him because he's always wrong. We'll be right back.
Sports Saturday with Jeff Paul and Bernie Siplicki.
The Packers host the Buckers at the Buckers. Thank God I said B there, not
on 101.3 The Game.
The truncated Sports Saturday here on 101.3 The Game as the show will end at 11:45 today instead of our normal 12 because starting at 11:45 is coverage of the Division II Men's Basketball Championship, College Basketball Championship. Annoying. Don't like cutting into our time, Burn. I only get to hang out with you a couple hours a week, man. He's cutting into it.
Sorry.
I think there's a theme today, and it's Jeff being annoyed at
things. Yeah, I'm salty today. Ooh, I don't like spring. It makes me mad. All right, Fred from South Hero prediction. The Washington football team will have a better record than the Giants and even win the division. All right, Fred, put your money where your mouth is, pal. I say the Giants are better than have a better record than the Redskins. I won't even put the division. I'm just going to beat the Redskins out, and I will bet a Romanto's pizza. I'm making a bet.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry.
I'm in here trying to. I'm gambling. You want to talk about gambling? I'm trying to gamble right here.
Dude, I'm trying
to
help you save your money.
No. I'm not betting the defense. The Washington football team
is too good.
Washington's going to be a good team.
I'm going to bet my buddy Fred from South Hero. So you hope you hear me. I'm going to bet you a large Romanto's pizza of your choice, and all you have to say to me in return if I win is, I'm the smartest football guy on the radio. That's all you have to say. I'm smarter than Arnie and Rich, and I'm smarter than Bernie.
Wait a second.
That's all I want.
You
want
to clarify that real quick. Make him say Jeff Paul is the... Yes, because otherwise Jeff Paul, he's going to...
Well, Aaron, my manager over here, Aaron, will put the terms of service down.
Yes, you don't want him to come on and be like, I am.
Right, no, me. Yeah, meaning me. Like, I am. I want him to say, oh, Jeff, you're brilliant. What is brilliant?
Don't give him loopholes, if I lose...
All of you that attack me every single week about my football knowledge and my football predictions, you can continue doing that. But Fred will have a delicious pizza if he wins. So, Fred, if you'd like it, give us a text on the Town Fair Tire text line and let me know if you accept my challenge. Put your money where your mouth is. Dennis from Georgia, let me see what he said. He's giving me something.
Please save me some of this goofy juice Jeff is drinking. I need to try it.
All this is smart water, buddy. And this is just, you know.
and that's wrong.
He goes, compete with the Cowboys. Ahem. He goes, how about the defending NFC East champs? You mean the ones that that kind of slid in the back door because the Eagles just basically just bailed out on the season?
And that would have made the Giants the champs.
No kidding. The Giants should have been the champs. I can't still. I'll never forgive the Eagles for doing that. So annoyed. Anyway.
Dude,
all right, Bert.
Dude, we got to do an over-under next week on how many times Jeff says annoyed.
I know. I'm sorry. I'm really sorry. I'm not annoyed that much. I'm really not that annoyed. But you bring up situations like, I mean, wasn't that terrible what the Eagles did? It was just terrible, just quitting. That's quitting. That's not football. That's quitting. You just played to get the...
They're giving guys opportunities. No, they worked hard.
No, please stop. You and I know you're lying to me. I know you're lying to me because...
I was so...
You and I were screaming about it on the phone that night. All right, anyway. All right, it's Bernie's picks time. As we know, the NCAA tournament is rolling. We spoke last week. I was so excited about the NCAA tournament. But as I said in the Green City Garage poll question, if your team gets beat in the playoffs or tournament, are you A, still following closely, B, passively following, or C, out? I am out, okay? I'm out. I might look at the end who won, whatever, but there's no way I can watch it. I just can't deal with it if my team's not in. I'm out. But anyway, Bernie.
So your team's out?
Oh, they're out.
Okay.
Yeah, long out.
But that was my lock of the week last week.
I know it was. It was something, all right. You're something with your locks of the week.
Well,
I got your lock over here, buddy boy. All right, let's hear what we got. Let's because there are some good games today, obviously. So let's hear.
We're into the round of the Sweet 16.
Yep, big
240
round.
Today. Sister Jean, Loyola Chicago against Oregon State.
I have a bobblehead of Sister Jean. My buddy Jocko got me that.
That's
I don't even
cool.
collect bobbleheads, but I have a Sister Jean bobblehead.
Nice.
Yeah. Anyway.
That's pretty neat.
Just a little information you might like.
I'm down with that.
Yeah.
You know, it's interesting. Oregon State coming out of nowhere, winning the Pac-12, playing very well. Pac-12 having a great...
How about the Pac-12? A Pac-12 that's been mocked for years, right, Bernie? Now all of a sudden looks like the powerhouse it used to be when Lou Alcindor was there and Bill Walton.
Right. Well, and talk about Bill Walton being the happiest person in the face of the earth.
Yeah, exactly.
With the Conference of Champions, representing so well.
By the way, did you ever see Meet That Cupcake when it was his birthday and he ate the...
With the candle?
With the candle lit.
On.
He ate the
He should be...
He's
should
the greatest.
He should be the color guy for every game ever played. He's amazing.
Oh, my God. He is unbelievable. I mean, he's no Bernie Siplicki on the...
Well, okay. Yeah, obviously not on ESPN
Plus,
but on ESPN...
All right, Aaron.
So do you see what I just did
there
for you? I was
talking NBA.
Yes.
Did you see what I just did there for you? See, that's something you
I
never do for
NBA.
Me.
I was talking NBA. I wasn't trying to step on your toes. I apologize.
I just want you to see what I just did for you. You see, Bernie, you never do that for me. You understand?
Oh.
You see, I stick up for you. I'm like, hey, he's no Bernie Siplicki, but you ever think to do that for me? No.
Once in a while.
Okay. All right. Let's continue.
Before I give you my picks, we got some good stuff here.
All right. What do you got?
Okay. So Dennis in Georgia says he wants to accept Fred's bet, but instead of getting a pizza, he wants you to wear a Washington jersey for a week.
Done. You're done. I'll do it.
Wow.
I'll do it.
Oh, that's
okay. So no pizza. I get to wear a jersey, but you, Dennis from Georgia, who is one of my, you're like the Darth Vader to me. Okay. Every single week, you're just in my kitchen every single week. You have to admit that I know my football, I'm the guy you come to get your football news. That's what you have to do. So challenge accepted. Let's write it down and let's do it.
I'm going to start a list.
You think he's going to forget this?
Oh, no, he's not going to forget.
Yeah. I'm starting a list of people Jeff's going to have a debt to.
Now, for the record, if the Giants stink, then I'll probably forget this.
Oh, no, we won't let you.
Oh, okay, all right, okay, fair enough.
I mean,
all right.
Not us, we, the community.
Yeah, you won't. Well, yeah, I know you won't let me forget. If whenever I lose something, you don't let me forget that.
Right.
Okay.
So anyways.
Yes, let's get back to our picks.
Loyola Chicago is a 7-point favorite.
They are good.
They are good. The underdogs have had a great run in this tournament with all the upsets and the craziness. I think Loyola Chicago is going to win this game, but I don't think they're going to cover. So, because I think it's going to be a close game. I think Oregon State's pretty good. I just think Loyola's better. And if you get the chance to watch this game, watch Loyola center. I don't know if you remember Arvydas Sabonis,
yes,
the big guy who could pass. he passes just like Sabonis.
I will say that I think Loyola will cover, and I'll say this because I think Loyola is a much better bat. I think they were underseeded number one. That is a very good basketball team. And remember, Oregon State snuck in late. This isn't a team that was successful. I think Loyola rolls here. I really do.
But they're playing good basketball.
Okay,
at
Bernie.
The time.
Fair enough. But Loyola is too. And look what Loyola just did to Illinois. I mean, that was not even close at all. I think Loyola is on a mission. I think they're gonna go to the Final Four. I really do. What are you reading all these text messages now?
Yes.
I can't keep up with them.
Wow.
I'm not even looking anymore. I'm gonna be broke if the Giants don't start winning games because my pride's not gonna allow me to take all these bets.
Kevin in Burlington said that Dennis just said your team and your pizza sucks.
Wow, that might be true.
But Kevin, let me say something. My pizza is good.
I'm sure if Dennis could take both, he would. He'd rather see the jersey.
He wants me in a Washington jersey. I get it. I understand that.
Game 2, 5:15 today. Jay Wright, how he keeps doing it with all the injuries and all the stuff. They are getting 7.5 points against one of the favorites to win the whole thing.
Baylor. Yeah.
I just think Baylor's got too much. I don't know, but it's hard to bet against Jay Wright because he's so good. But at the end of the day, I just think Baylor's too good, and they're going to win by more than 7.5.
Yeah, I can see why you'd want to take that there. But Baylor has not played great basketball for the last month. But you're starting to see the signs. And I will tell you that teams like Baylor, this is the winning time, right? I mean, this is what you're playing for. I'm with you, and I don't know if Villanova's got enough to stay with them. I bet it's close through the halftime, though. I bet it's a very close game early, but I'm with you, Bernie. I like Baylor to roll today.
So then 7:25, Arkansas against Oral Roberts, the greatest
Oral
story
Roberts.
Of the
number 15.
Of the tournament, the second number 15 team to reach the Sweet 16, Florida Gulf Coast being the other one a few years ago.
Yeah, recently, that's right.
Yeah, in that group, 11.5-point spread. I think that's a lot of points. I think Oral Roberts is pretty good. I'm going to take the points in this situation. I don't think they'll win, but I think 11.5 is a lot of points.
And may I add that you'll never have an Oral Roberts situation in college football because it just doesn't allow the great moments
sakes.
Like we're having with Oral Roberts here. But I'm going to take Oral Roberts, too. I'm not sold on Arkansas. I think Oral Roberts is a veteran team. They played great basketball. 11 points is way too much. I think they're going to win outright. What do you think of that? Give me Oral Roberts tonight.
Outright. Let's go.
I'm going to take the points because I get the points, but I think they're going to win.
So you want to bet this game straight up?
No, I just want to. I'll bet the points, but I will say that I think they're going to. I have a chance to win. They have a chance to win today.
Of
I think
course
if there's
they have a chance because they're playing.
Right, I get it, but well, that's not necessarily true for all teams, buddy.
No, what do you mean? Every team has a 50-50 chance of winning when they get in the game.
All right, let me rephrase what I said.
Okay.
Oral Roberts is a very game 15 to me, I think. I wouldn't be shocked if they upset Arkansas. And I think the 11 number is huge, so I will take the points as well. I'm not sold on Arkansas. So I'll take Oral Roberts, and I wouldn't be surprised if they won. You're right, Bernie. If you're playing, you got a chance, okay?
Well, I mean,
you take everything. That's what I'm talking about. There's no gray area. This or it's that. There's no middle area with you.
You're like, how many times have we seen the one upsets? I mean, you know, USA hockey against Russia way back.
Yep.
They play 100 times.
Oh, yeah.
USA is going to lose the majority of them.
Right.
But all they needed was that one.
That's right.
That's the beauty of the tournament.
I believe that's a quote from Herb Brooks, too.
Probably.
It was.
Yeah.
We may play them 10 times. They're going to win 9 of them, but not today.
Today's
our day.
And is that the case for the nightcap at 9:55?
What
Houston
do we got?
Against Syracuse.
Yes. I don't care what the number is. Give me Syracuse.
You're getting 6.5 points.
Give me Syracuse and the number. I'm telling you right now, what Buddy Boeheim is doing right now is he's in that zone. Whether you love Syracuse or hate Syracuse, what Jim Boeheim does in the tournament is unbelievable. Houston is still one of those programs that's kind of coming still. This is new chartered area for them. I love the Cuse to win tonight. I really do. And I can't believe I'm saying it because Buddy Boeheim bugs me.
Oh, come on now.
He scores a lot of points against Virginia. I don't like guys that do well against my team. It's the way I am. I'm not a good fan.
Yeah, that's all right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
I mean, he's a great kid, you know, great
is.
Player,
he's
but, you know.
And I hate to say this. I'm going to agree with you. I'm taking Syracuse and the points. I think there's, a lot of – with the zone and the way Syracuse can score, it's good stuff. And, you know, these are just 4 games, and there's 4 more games tomorrow and then the Elite Eight on Monday and Tuesday. I mean,
awesome
if you really want to dig into it, the NIT semifinals are today, Jeff, if you have any interest.
No, I have no interest in that at all. None. I'm out.
No, Colorado State and Memphis and Mississippi State and Louisiana Tech.
Ooh.
Doesn't tickle your fancy?
It does not. It does not. Ramstrom Ralph says, Jeff, I'll defend you, but you're nuts. Well,
that's a nice defense.
Am I nuts with what? Am I nuts because I think the Giants are going to play better than Washington? Like, why is that nuts to you? Washington's going to play with an old quarterback, great defense, an old quarterback.
Fitzmagic.
Come on, Fitzmagic. Give me a break.
What do you mean? I mean, you love him.
I do love him, but he's an average quarterback. I think the
500 wins the NFC East.
Not this year, buddy boy. Not this year.
The Cowboys aren't going to be that good.
But you saw what happened when the Giants paired an average quarterback with a great defense. They won a Super Bowl.
Well, I would argue that the Giants' offense. Hold on a minute.
Against my team.
The Giants' offense also boasted guys like Brandon Jacobs, Ahmad Bradshaw, Plaxico Burress.
Washington has offensive weapons.
I mean, they have weapons, but not like. I'm just telling you. I think that I don't know why I'm crazy. The Giants are going to do better than Washington, and I think the Cowboys are probably the team to beat. I love the fact that I don't have to even mention Philadelphia. I love that. And I never will either because Philadelphia
I do like the
me.
Trade that they made, though.
Oh, you love the trade for their future. I think it looks great. I think they had to do it. Mm-hmm. But that window, I've been saying it since they won the Super Bowl, that window is like, you know, it's a little teeny window now, Bernie. Like,
you're saying it's closed?
It's closing for Philadelphia. Okay. It really is. But anyway, so yeah, I'll take the bet over there, Dennis. I got your bet. I'll wear a jersey if I lose.
We've got it on the Twitter page.
Okay, fair enough. The bet, it's in the books. It's in the books. I can't wait for him.
What's it like? Should it be the... who's the guy from Young? Because the Giants, if they weren't, you know, if they didn't win that game, we would have had him.
Yeah, we would have had him.
So maybe that'll make it better.
Yeah, whatever jersey you want. Maybe he wants me to go throwback. Maybe that's where Theismann. Maybe he wants me to wear Dexter Manley.
John Riggins.
Yeah. You know, maybe he wants to go a little Charles Mann. I mean, we can do this all day.
Or how about the guy who broke our heart on Monday night, Jay Schrader?
Oh, Jay Schrader. Oh, my God. Or Mark Rippon. Maybe a Mark Rippon. How about Art Monk or Gary Clark?
Yeah.
You know, or Daryl Green. I used to argue with my buddy because he loved Daryl Green because he was the fastest. He always said he was the fastest guy in the league. He was very fast. But he could never catch my boy Joe Morris, buddy boy Joe Morris. My favorite Giant of all time.
Really?
Joe Morris. I loved him.
Dennis in Georgia would like to extend an olive branch. He says the pizza is great, his quarterback takes, and teams suck.
Okay, thank you, Dennis.
Dennis. There's a big bowl of crow for you to eat, Dennis, and it's going to come to you sometime, like maybe next, probably December-ish. When the Giants are like three games up late, it's going to be great. It's going to be a good football team, buddy. All right, quick break. When we come back, we tie a bow on the show. Remember, we're closing down early today because the Division II Men's Basketball Championship is today, and we got to make sure we get the pregame of that in.
Are you annoyed?
Yes. We'll be right back.
I hate to say it, but the show is almost over. But before we go, we'll get the Brass Monkeys bumping and get you ready for your sports weekend. This is Sports Saturday on 101.3 The Game.
We are back here on Sports Saturday. It's a truncated-ish, what word am I looking for here?
Shortened version.
Yeah, shortened version of Sports Saturday today. Thank you, Bernie.
Snack-sized.
As in about 4 minutes, we're going to be off the air, but coverage of the men's Division II basketball championships will be on the air here on 101.3 The Game. Justin from Essex just said on the Town Fair text line, hey guys, I missed the beginning of the show. How did Bernie's March Madness lock for last weekend do?
I think it was pretty successful, right, Jeff?
Yeah, Bernie, you're right on the spot on. Right on the money. You know, there was a time that would really hurt me. It really would.
Now it's just annoying you.
But no, nothing bothers me now because they won in 19. I never thought I'd ever see it. So now I'm kind of like, yeah, you know, it's disappointing. I wish they were still in it, but they won. Okay. And that, honestly, I'm telling you, like, I'm at peace. I don't care if they may never win another tournament game the rest of my, you know, I watch them, but I'm all fine with that.
And we have found the winner of the shirt that we're going to have Jeff wear, right?
Oh, yeah. Someone called in and said he should have to wear a Dexter Manley shirt if the Giants do not win more games than the Washington football team.
So a fitting for the back of the shirt would have to say Manley on it.
Yeah, I kind of like that. I mean, Manley, I like it.
Is there going to be a question mark at the end of the line?
It could. Maybe we need to figure out how long I have to wear said jersey, too. I'd like to figure that out. Like,
he said a week.
Oh, it's a week. I have to wear it for a week. Okay, all right, that's game. All right, I'm good with that. I'm good with that. All right, let's get to the poll question. The Green City Garage poll question today was, you could have gone to Twitter at 101.3 The Game, and the question today was, if your team gets beat in the playoffs, tournament, you know, whatever it is, the Stanley Cup playoffs, whatever, are you A, still following closely, B, passively following, or C, are you out? What won over there, Aaron?
It's refreshing. Hold on.
Oh, it's refreshing. Okay, sorry.
This is what happens. Computer drives me crazy.
Live radio, you know what I mean? I can tell you what I picked. I'm out, basically. I'm not even passively watching. I'll, you know, even though I will say that I'm going to be into Loyola. I'm going to check that out today. Won't watch the whole game.
Why?
Because I just, I'm telling you, I can't do it. No, it just disappoints me. I'm disappointed my team's out. I don't have the same fire for it. I just don't.
Okay.
It's not a good, I'm not proud of the trade I have, Bernie. I mean, it's not good, but who won? Do we have it yet?
Yep. So 60% said following passively, and then 20% said still following closely, and 20% said I'm out.
All right. Well, there you go. I figured that'd be where it was, like right down the middle. People are kind of, how about you? What are you? You're all in. Even if your team's out, you're absolutely pretty much all in. Yeah, you're all in. Look, you're stone faced telling me that.
Too. I am.
Just like, right down the middle. Like, yeah, I'm in. I'm all in. So, did you make a prediction, your lock of the week? What is it? I mean, you gave us a lot of, did you pick a lock yet? I don't, maybe I just missed it.
Well, are we going for today or the weekend? Because there's four games tomorrow.
I would just, what your lock is. I mean, there's one lock, Bernie. I mean, I don't care when the lock is Monday. You know, give me a lock.
My lock is Baylor today.
Baylor today is your lock.
Yep.
Baylor against Villanova, the number was 7.5.
Yes.
Way to go out on a limb, Bernie. Like, way to go way out on a limb on that one. I mean, you pick Ohio to upset Virginia last week.
You just asked for a lock.
Yeah, but that's like a weak lock. I mean, people don't care about that lock.
It's a lock. It's supposed to be a guarantee, isn't it?
Yeah. Right. No, but that's a weak lock. Anybody could have that lock, Bernie. I mean, I could say, yeah, Baylor's going to beat Villanova. Banged up Villanova team. Baylor's this unbelievable team.
So two weak locks in a row.
Yeah. No, the first lock was, that's a bold lock. When you pick a 13 seed upset of 4, that's fair. I'll give you that. That's a good pick. Good for you. My lock of the week is Baylor to beat Villanova. I mean, Baylor's supposed to win a national championship. Villanova's
been so bitter today.
I'm not bitter. I just mean, what kind of lock is that? We all know that. Who wouldn't pick that?
There's a lot of people that wouldn't pick that.
Well, anyway. All right, guys. Thanks for listening today. We will be back next Saturday. Keep it tuned in right here. It's coverage at 11:45 of the Division II Boy Men's Basketball Championship. And we got all kinds of stuff going on the weekend, too. You got the Celtics on 960 The Zone. Have a great weekend. Be safe. Enjoy. And we'll be back next Saturday. We are Sports Saturday. I'm Jeff. He's Bernie. He's Aaron. Be good.